Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word. And if you were listening in the last half hour, I was on with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, on his program For the Cause of Christ. We were talking about just the absolute historic election that took place here this past Tuesday. And I have in the studio with me right now, in addition to my wife, who joined me for Veterans Day, I have John Lutz with me in the studio today. Brother Lutz, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, and happy Veterans Day, Brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate your service.
Yeah, and appreciate that. Thank you. And I do want to do that before we get into our topic too much here today.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking more about some of the election and consequences of that. But today is Veterans Day, 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month.
Yeah.
And we celebrate the veterans. And if you're listening today and you're a veteran or active duty, any branch of the service, I was in the Air Force, but I'll still recognize anybody else, Navy, Marines, all other ones, but Army, Coast Guard,
yeah.
And I certainly want to thank you for your service, salute you for your service, and appreciate it. You know, we could not be doing what we're doing here on the radio today
if
it were not for the veterans that have gone on before us and those that are serving even right now in the military. We could not have had the free election that we had on Tuesday.
That's right.
And be anticipating and looking towards what is absolutely incredible. I have been out of the country when different presidents have taken, you know, have left office and a new one's come in.
Yeah.
For instance, when President George H.W. Bush followed Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I was in England. I was stationed there in the Air Force. And British people, even though they have a pretty robust free democracy there, they just can't hardly imagine that the most powerful man in the world by human standards would voluntarily relinquish all the power, all the control of the greatest nation that this world has ever seen, and willingly hand it over to another person and leave.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen in most places.
Right.
It just, usually there's fighting and all kinds of stuff. And so pray for our country as we face this transition. But you know, it's due to the veterans that are out there and those that are currently serving that we have this freedom to vote and that we have the opportunity to witness. Even hopefully, you know, when you look at such broad base differences between the outgoing Obama administration and the incoming Trump administration, and yet you know, we can look forward to the country continuing on and not being thrown in turmoil. I know there's people out there rioting; they're being paid to do it. George Soros has got you can go online, you can see ads hiring people to protest. You can see pictures of the buses, the luxury buses lined up that deliver these people to protest. And so that's Soros, you know, he's going to answer to God one day.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get saved, but we pray for our country, pray for the transition. And thank you again to the veterans. Happy Veterans Day. And we want to spend some time too talking about what has happened with the election and possibly some of the implications there. And you can get in on a conversation too here today if you'd like to. If you'd like to call about this topic, our phone number is toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can give us a call here this afternoon and you know, maybe share a few thoughts or have some questions about that and what we do as Christians. And let me just start off right now. We have been given a tremendous victory. And at the close of your program, we were talking about the responsibility that we have has just gone up astronomically.
Yeah.
And Joshua, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 13, says, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed.
Amen.
And you think about it. We sing tremendous victory.
Yeah.
I've got linked. If you go to our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, if you can't find it directly on Facebook, go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. There's a link to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al there. And I've got an article linked there about divine intervention in this, and there are some other articles linked there about the Christian vote and the evangelical vote, and praying for our President-elect Donald Trump, the transition team, and all these things. But we as Christians, we got on our knees in prayer across this country before the election. People around the world were praying. Sunday night, we had a caller from Canada saying that she was praying and fasting for America's election.
Yeah.
And people were praying, and now we've seen God move. I mean, during the election, as the results were coming in, Hillary was winning, it looked like. People started praying in Jerusalem for the American election. People started praying in Washington, D.C., Texas, small towns across America. We had some people that told us, as a result of some things we talked about on our program last Sunday night, that they were going to pray for the election at polling stations on Tuesday. And my wife and I prayed Monday night as we were putting out some signs at some polling stations and praying when I had time. It was so busy during the elections.
Yeah.
But and I believe God moves, so now what do we do? Well, I think what God told Joshua, he had accomplished a lot getting into the land and vanquishing the enemies, and yet he said there's still very much land to be possessed, and it's only the beginning, don't you think?
I do. I think this is a hard time for Christians, and what I mean by that is it's harder to continue going forward when things are going well than sometimes when you're pressured into doing it.
And, that's a good point.
And so I think we have to be, I think this is what the Lord said, beware lest ye be fooled. Don't forget where this blessing came from. Don't forget where this reprieve came from. Now get busy. I've got, you know, we complain about all of these areas or quote unquote pockets of populations. You know, the Muslim population, the college populations and those type of things. Well, now we've been given a mandate.
Yes, we have.
To say, let's get in there. Let's do what we can do. And, you know, this is where the religious liberty and the free speech comes in, and the freedom to exercise the religion, not worship, but religion.
Right.
This is why it's so important, because now it doesn't mean we're foolish. It doesn't mean we go out arrogantly or pridefully.
Right.
We speak the truth in love, but the Lord has just said by this statement, by what has taken place here, at least as what it indicates, I put the brakes on this thing. I'm taking the burden off a little bit of where this thing was headed. Now get out there and do my work. And, you know, I was thinking about this too. You mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, how, you know, we know that in 2 Thessalonians talks about he that letteth will let. And who's really restraining the evil? What's the Holy Spirit? But it's the Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah, working through us.
Through us.
As we're salt and light.
That's right. So it was the salt and the light that God used to accomplish what he was accomplishing this week. But now he's given us a tremendous accountability. To whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
And so now we've got to get out there and we have to teach people. It is a matter of re-education. I remember when President Obama got elected in 2008, I remember hanging a banner up on our church wall that said Operation Absolute Truth. And the whole point of it was, and the message I preached the Sunday after election was, the re-education of the youth of America. What they've accomplished has been 50 or 60 years in the making. It's not going to happen overnight. We need to have constitution studies. We need to have history studies. And why can't the church partake in some of those things? You know, I think for so long we've avoided trying to get involved in some of those things. And again, not to take away from what our primary goal is, which is to preach the gospel. But you and I, Brother Al, know this country was so fundamentally founded on spiritual truth and the whole premise of somebody being able to preach the gospel separate from what the state told them they had to do. And so I just feel like we've gotten that reprieve. We've gotten that point where we can now, and we were doing it before, so it's not like we're doing anything more, but we have to do more about it now. We have to get out more fervently and get out there into these communities and start teaching them why did we, why did the election go this way? Why are you so distraught about what's taking place that you can't even comprehend reality that there are winners and losers? And we talked about it earlier about, you know, a lot of the millennials, they've never lost an election.
Right.
They have voted for Obama, President Obama, and they've never lost. And then you take the society in which they've been raised in, which is everybody's a winner. There are no losers. You get this participation trophy. You get this ribbon that says, hey, good job. We're glad you participated. We don't keep score anymore. And then they get handed a real life event. They don't know how to process it because
yeah.
They've never experienced anything like this before.
Right. And, you know, and I have related at church and on a radio that or your program earlier about how, to me, there's a lot of echoes to 1980. And you're talking about, that was my first presidential election, 1980, when Ronald Reagan beat President Carter, who was running for re-election. And everybody thought that Reagan was going to lose. And if he did win, he was going to send our nation into war. He was going to destroy the United States. And it was just going to be terrible. In fact, the Larval Fish Lab at Colorado State University, where I was working at the time when I was a student there, they were just distraught. They were sure that war was coming. It was in the United States because Ronald Reagan won. Well, I voted. That was my first election, and he won. I voted in his second re-election, and he won. I voted for President George H.W. Bush, and he won.
Yeah.
Well, I voted, you know, in the next election, and my guy lost, and we got President Jimmy Carter when.
Or you got Clinton.
Clinton. I'm sorry, yeah. Clinton. I'm getting back in time. I'm regressing here. I'm older than you. I'm regressing. But when President George H.W. Bush ran for re-election, he lost.
Yeah.
That was the first presidential election I lost. And, you know, I feel bad because I'd won. I think, boy, I'm on a roll here every election. I'm winning. I'm voting for the winner every election. Then sure. Jimmy Carter. So I left the country. No, I did. My wife and I packed up and left. I mean, he was inaugurated.
Let's explain that, though, why you left.
He was inaugurated in January, and the end of in March, we were down in the Samoan Islands. We left.
Yeah.
No, we were missionaries. We left.
And, small little detail there.
It was a nice way of looking at it. I did. I told people at the time, well, Jimmy or Bill Clinton's president, I'm leaving.
Oh, man.
But, you know, and there are people who are talking about leaving, and they're probably not going to leave. That was just something they said. But again, I didn't say, oh, my world has come to an end. I wasn't going out on the street like one video that I saw, you know, this lady crying into her phone going, he's such a monster.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is life. You're not always going to win. And, you know, Hillary Clinton called us a bunch of deplorables. And we were joking about this earlier. You said you were going to introduce me on your program as one of the deplorables the irredeemables. And I pointed out, wait a minute, I'm redeemed. I might be deplorable, but I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And when we think about this, this election is something that's only temporary in the course of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we've got an eternity ahead of us.
Amen.
And this is just a blip in eternity. And yes, it's important right now, and it affects the world, and God knows what's going on. But whether Hillary won or Trump won, we still have a job to do. We still have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord. God is still on the throne. Even when God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem and to destroy the temple and to drive the Jews out of the land, God was still there, and he still accomplished his purposes, and that exile from the land brought them back to him.
Yeah.
And I think our exile, in a sense, what we've been seeing these last several years and the threats to our freedoms, is God has used to get our attention, bring us back to him. So the question is, what are we going to do now? Are we just going to sit back and say, well, praise God, thank God, that's over with. I'm not going to worry about anything for the next 4 years. Maybe the rapture will take place before then.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to my church and tune out the world and not be concerned with what happens after that. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, that's a great point, because I think it's easy for Christians to get tunnel vision, because we do struggle at times of what is our involvement in with this country and where we live. It doesn't matter if it's here or Canada or wherever. you know, what is my involvement to my country, my native country I'm born to and I'm a part of and I love and I'm thankful for, and balance that with that Christianity. And, you know, we as Bible-believing Christians, born-again Christians and fundamental Baptists, you know, we believe in the free exercise. We believe in going out and witnessing and door knocking, and we cherish those opportunities that God has given to us. And for many years, our country has said, yes, you have, we're going to support that, and we're going to make sure you have that liberty that God's given you to exercise your religion. And we've been seeing that as that has, you know, been encroached upon slowly and surely and going that. So, you know, here's an opportunity that, okay, we know, one, I think of this, you talk about the mercy of the Lord.
Right.
One, we don't deserve a reprieve, but I think people are looking at so much like, well, the Lord's coming, you know, and we had a guest preacher there Sunday morning in our church, and he made a comment. He said, you know, he was talking about, well, you know, we got to do our part. We got to do what's right. But ultimately, you know, we know that the world's going to end up in a globalist society with a global religion, a global economy, and during the tribulation, and at least the build up to that. But what we think, and this is the height of our arrogance, Brother Al, we just think we got God's timing all figured out.
Right.
And we don't. And we don't know if it's going to be 5 years, 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years. We don't know that. I mean, we see the indicators and we see some things, but in all reality, we don't know. And I don't know that God wants us sitting around worrying about it, because if you look at Acts chapter 1, mm-hmm. you know, he sent the angels down. Why stand you here gazing? You know, I gave you power. I'm going to give you power to be witnesses. Go back to Jerusalem and wait. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the power, and then you can do what I've called you to do. But before that, they're like, hey, when's the kingdom going to get restored to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time nor the seasons, but you shall receive power. And so, what's the power to do? To be a witness, to right. get out there, to do the work. You know, I'm already thinking and looking and praying and asking God to direct me and guide me, that, you know, God has given us many wonderful people now at the church that are, some of them are ministry trained, and I'm just thanking the Lord for that. And we're going to be able to do some outreaches, but there's no reason that we can't press a little further out into the community in some of these areas that maybe we're being so isolated, and start getting in there and get over some of the fears that we have,
right.
and get in there and do them. You know this, well, Cleveland's got a huge Muslim population.
Mm-hmm. Lakewood, where you're at.
Just south of us. They call it Little Arabia, mm-hmm. right? From 117th to 150th on Lorraine, you go by your GPS, it either says Little Egypt or Little Arabia.
I just saw or heard a statistic. Somebody told me there's a Arab station. I think it's called Live TV. It's on satellite or something, and they're a Christian station. A lot of saved Muslims, and they were, somebody was talking to me, said that they're saying that about 3,000 Muslims a year are coming to Christ.
Amen.
In the Islamic world.
Yeah.
I believe was the figure, 3,000. Maybe it's 3,000 a month. I'll go 3,000 a year, but
yeah.
But it was just a huge number.
And all it takes is one.
Yeah.
It takes one that, you know, God's going to call their own people to their own people. Mm-hmm. It just takes that one. You know, right. I know a young man in the area that was a Muslim, and he's actually of Jordanian descent, I believe, and he's a pastor, a youth pastor, and, you know, trying to talk to him and encourage him, you know, why not begin an outreach? You speak the language, you get out there
right.
and do some of the work, because that's a pocket. I think there's great fear, you know, when it's like, well, it's them against us. No. We need to take the gospel to them. The Lord mm-hmm. loves them just as much as he loves us.
Exactly.
And they need the gospel. In fact, Paul said it this way, I am debtor to the Greek and to the barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
I owe them a debt for what Christ has done for me.
Yes.
I owe them this. And if I'm not paying off my debts, well, then I'm going to go in debtor's prison. And you know, the Lord's just going to sit me down and say, well, you know, you're not doing the work that you've been called to do. So I think, going back to what you mentioned, tremendous opportunity here mm-hmm. For us to move forward, but tremendous accountability that God has just given to us. We
right.
wanted it. We prayed for it. We got it. What are you going to do with it now?
Well, and that's exactly right, because one of the things that was a concern to me during this election, if Hillary had won, you know, she had made statements that people don't agree with their position on same-sex marriage and abortion and all this sort of stuff, that Christians and churches just simply have to change their belief.
I saw that. Yeah.
Change their belief. It's not going to be acceptable anymore.
Right.
And they were talking about ways that they can make people who believe like we believe socially unacceptable and to try and shame us and pressure us into changing our beliefs.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I was concerned about. I was concerned about the Supreme Court and some different things. But and the freedom to be able to talk on the radio like this, because there's a move right now to basically ban saying things that people are don't like.
Right.
We have freedom of speech in this country. And it only takes a court decision to weaken that and to even take it away.
Sure.
And, you know, so we need to be busy right now, because at this time we have been given an opportunity to go out into the world again. We've been given renewed opportunity. You know, we're looking now at the idea that we may have a court that's more favorable to freedom of speech.
Right.
The internet was turned over to the UN just a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And all these things that are going against us, God's given us a reprieve. He didn't give us the reprieve to sit back in our churches, sit back in our Bible study groups, sit back in our prayer groups. And you know, it's like, remember that famous painting about the people going over the edge into the precipice?
Oh, yeah,
And the group of Christians under the tree making daisy chains.
Yeah.
While and only occasionally somebody would go out and try to warn people.
Yeah.
Yet we're called to warn people. We're called to warn people about eternity. We've got a reprieve. Noah was given 120 years. I don't think we're given 120 years here before the rapture, but Noah was given 120 years to warn people of what was going to come. We've been given a year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 months. I don't know what God's given us, but we have an opportunity right now that we have a reprieve. These trends that were going against us, against freedom of religion, against free speech, and against all of these things, these trends, I think, have been kind of put on hold. And we're to take advantage of it, not for our benefit, but for God's benefit.
Yeah, I agree.
That we can reach people. Like you said, worse things are coming. We read the Bible. We understand during the events of the tribulation, the Bible says if it went on any longer, there wouldn't be any life left. Jesus said something to that effect.
Yeah.
And terrible things that are going to hit this world during that time. We want to reach people now while we have the opportunity. God has given us a renewed opportunity, a window of hope. And we need to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And we've just got a couple of minutes, I think about 2 minutes or so left in the program. Mention your church, mention your revival that you've got going on right now, and then I want to make a couple closing remarks real quick.
Okay. We have revival services this week, starting Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Dr. Larry Clayton, he's been preaching for about 65 years. He's been involved in hundreds of church plants around the world, and just a dear man of God serving the Lord. He's going to be there Sunday morning at 11. Sunday night at 6, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock at North Coast Baptist Church. The address is 2051 Quail Street, just like the bird, Q-U-A-I-L, Lakewood, Ohio, 44107. Our phone number is 216-521-3800 if you have any questions.
All right, I appreciate that. And if you're out in that area, and I know Brother Lutz would love to have you come in there. And I just wanted to let you know, too, if you're struggling with the results of the election and it's got you down and you're having trouble coping, let me echo what a pastor friend of ours down in Loudonville said. He said he's opening a coping center. And I know Pastor Lutz is going to operate a coping center this coming Sunday out there in Lakewood. We've got our coping center. Actually, you can come to ours tonight at 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio. That information is coming a little bit. Also on Sunday, we call it church services normally, but if you need some guidance and some help, let me invite you to come out and learn how to cope with this election by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're about out of time. Let me remind you, our website, livewithpastoral.com. If you want to continue the conversation, join us tonight at our Bible study. And that will be mentioned here in just a moment. And also join us Sunday night for Late Night Live with Pastor Al at 11 o'clock until midnight on this same station. Thanks again. Happy Veterans Day, and God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.